It is the end of the year. It is the last day of the year, and we have saved the best for last, in my opinion, because today we get to talk about books, and we get to talk about the best books of 2018, and we get to talk about the best books with the best people. And that makes me very, very happy. Susanna Hermans of Oblong Books and Music in Millerton and Rhinebeck joins us. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Well, Happy New Year to you. It's a delight to have you with us. Also, Matt Tannenbaum, the proprietor of the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, joins us this morning to talk about best books. Good morning, Matt.
Hello, Joe. Hi, Susanna. Sweet to be here with you.
Very nice to have you both. I could not imagine having a conversation about great books and not have the two of you be a part of it, because we've talked all year about great stuff. So now we get to put it all together. So let's begin with fiction. And I will start with the best book that I read all year long, and I see that it's also in Susanna's list, and that is Tommy Orange's There, There, which was a novel of a Native American family and an extended family, and how it all comes together to this climax that is stunning and gutting. And the novel is just beautifully written by a man who has this is his first novel.
This is his first novel. And this was my favorite book of the year until I read another book that I brought with me today. So this novel, I mean, the way, first of all, it's giving us a perspective that we don't get to see in literature very often, which is a urban contemporary Native American voice.
Right.
And the way he weaves these interspersed narratives of different characters' perspectives toward this incredible climax that we will not spoil, but something that it's all the stories are leading up to this powwow that's going to take place in Oakland, California, and something is going to happen at this powwow. It's both a stunning literary achievement, but also a complete page turner.
It is, and he is such a confident writer and a beautiful writer, and it's just an amazing, astonishing literary debut. Matt, what made your list as far as fiction goes of the best novel that you read in 2018?
The best novel, and I have to confess, did not read a lot of novels, but the best one was The Overstory.
Mm.
Now that is on my list as well, Richard Powers.
Yeah, now, I've been reading Richard Powers since his first book back in the 80s, and this book. Is this his best? It's the deepest. It has the most texture of all his books. It's these seven or nine stories of people, and they're almost like thumbnail sketches. But he'll take a sentence like Susanna, what you were saying about Tommy Orange. You know, this literary magnificence. What was the word you used? It was, you know, this is the power of literature, that Powers can take in one sentence, he can describe a minute in someone's life, and in the next sentence, he can describe the next 4 years.
Right.
You know, and you get down into the grain of the wood of the person, of the story. You're down into the depths of it, looking out at the story from inside of it. My favorite word for the new year, for this year, was lignin. Do you know this word, lignin?
No.
I wonder if it got used in Powers' book. Lignin, I call it the gluten of paper. That's what you smell, that's what you perceive when you walk into a bookstore. And this is what Powers does. He gets you down into it. And so I just love this book, The Overstory, about trees. The humans are the understory, and trees are the overstory.
It is about trees and people, and it's certainly a novel of activism and resistance, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Richard Powers, The Overstory. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, the activism, you know, I guess it's... I didn't realize that it was a historical novel, that it's taking place 30 years ago. And then it kind of catches up. Then it becomes this narrative after all the activity, that when all the people who you've been introduced to, they all meet up in some way. And I didn't realize it was that kind of a trajectory until the end of it, and that just blew me away.
Now, your top book made it second on my list, and this is a, and only because it was a collection of stories and not a novel, and so I differentiated the two, but it's a story collection, but I'm still trying to put my socks back on from the experience of reading these stories.
Yes, so the book is Friday Black by Nana Kwame Ajay Brenya.
I wanted to get to it.
Well, you still have time. It is... I came on Book Picks a few weeks back and spoke about this book, but it's my favorite book that I read this year. It is the best book I read this year. It is also the most difficult book emotionally to read. I've begun to find ways to talk about this book in the bookstore, and the way I'm starting to describe it is it's a collection of stories that looks at our country, our contemporary country, and says, what would happen if the white supremacy got worse?
Yeah.
And it's also a debut. He, I believe, is in his late 20s, an incredibly gifted writer. I mean, I cannot wait for the rest of my lifetime to read the rest of his work.
And just a few weeks ago when he came in, he talked about the book and sat in the same chair that you're sitting in now. And I know this doesn't matter, but was the nicest man. Just such an interesting, fascinating perspective, and a beautiful writer, and just such a nice, nice person. We have an interview with him that is going to air on January 15th on The Book Show.
Excellent.
And it's a fantastic collection. It is called Friday Black. All right. What else is on your list for best?
Joe, you have such a good time.
It doesn't suck, Matt. I get to talk to you all. What's wrong with that? About great books.
And read all these books and have that experience of reading all these books. I have another novel. It's a children's novel, and it came out in December of 17, but it never got talked about, I don't think.
Okay.
Except I talked about it, and it's a children's book called The Mouse and His Child by Russell Hoban. And it was just the most inventive kind of story, a tin wind-up toy, the mouse and his child, and their adventure in the toy store, and then out of the toy store, in the family home, and then out into the world. And Russell Hoban, he wrote all the Francis, Bedtime for Francis books, all the Badger books, and he has these tin toys, this tin toy out in the world of badgers and muskrats and beavers and all the animals in the world, in the forest and and they have these adventures, and you learn is that anthropomorphism, and it's just delightful. It's my favorite kids' books before this was the Fred Pig books, where you learn about how to live together on a
yes.
farm, and but Russell Hoban just takes you that much deeper.
Pictures by David Small. It's The Mouse and His Child, and I just loved your line from a moment ago of, you know, all the Badger books.
Yes.
A genre in and of itself, the books of the Badger. Very exciting. What else can there be? Now, I love the book I think you're about to talk about. Yes.
Yeah. So I had one more novel I wanted to make sure to mention, which was Rebecca Mackay's The Great Believers. It was a National Book Award finalist. It was one of the New York Times 10 best books of the year. I just loved this book. It's set both in the 1980s and present day with the same group of folks. In the 1980s, it's a group of friends who are being devastated by the AIDS plague. And in the present day, it is the members of that group that are still with us and the story that brings them all together through this life. She is a wonderful writer. This was the first thing of hers I've read. But I think I've got to read some more because she is good.
I have to say that I love this novel, and it was a great novel, and so historically accurate and really interesting, and of a time that I lived through, and yet you get a perspective that is like no other. One other thing before we move to nonfiction, I have to say is I noticed, and there's a lot of lists of people that put out of best of, and I read this little tiny novel. We did a book show with Elliot Ackerman, who is a National Book Award winner, called Waiting for Eden. Mm. And it is about war, and it is about love, and it is beautifully written. And it seems to me to be a book that is flying under the radar, and it'll take you about an hour and a half to read it. But my goodness, what a beautiful, beautiful novel. And it'll depress the hell out of you. But it's but isn't that why we read good novels? Waiting for Eden by Elliot Ackerman is really great stuff. Now, the top of my list, is that the top of your list?
Sure.
Is Tara Westover's Educated. This, of course, number one New York Times bestseller. It is, I think it has made just about every best of list. And here, I think, is the reason why. It's really good.
It's really good.
Yeah. She tells an amazing story.
Yeah. I mean, it's the story of her growing up as a kid raised in a home that was off the grid, no birth certificate, fundamentalism, isolationist family, and how she lives through that and comes to be, is it Harvard? Harvard bound?
Yes.
Harvard and Cambridge. I mean, she's had an extraordinary life and her, you know, ability to write about it in such a open and heart-wrenching but honest way is, I mean, this is the book in the last, you know, in the last weeks before Christmas, we start to see in the store what the big books of the year are. They really start to pop out. And this was the big book.
It is Educated.
Did you have enough stock?
I did, by the skin of my teeth.
I ran out, and I could kick myself.
We ran out of a few other things, though. So
yeah, right, okay.
A beautiful memoir of this girl who's kept out of school and then leaves her family, which is a survivalist family, and ends up. Yeah, it's an amazing story.
And she also manages to do it without it being like an exploitative kind of like juicy thing. Like, she really brings the literature to this tale.
And just think about the story itself of a 17-year-old girl walking into a classroom for the first time. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Matt, what made your list? Nonfiction.
Nonfiction? I have two. I have Simon Winchester, The Perfectionists.
Oh, I love that.
And the other one is Daniel Klein and Tom Cathcart's third book in their philosophy series, I Think, Therefore I Draw.
Now, let's talk about Simon Winchester's book first. He's always a perennial favorite, a beautiful, wonderful writer, takes very, dense topics and makes them just so readable and beautiful.
And he has such fun as a living human being discovering the inside of these things. And then he has this way of writing about it that makes you follow right along with him. Bouncing on his knee as he's driving along in the Rolls Royce. Well, you're not bouncing because the Rolls Royce is his precision instrument, and you know, the book was originally called Precision, or it was, I think in England it's called Precision, and the American publishers didn't like that title. They wanted a more proactive title, The Perfectionists.
And in our interview, he still seems a little bitter about that.
I would be too. What's he writing about now? He told me, and now of course I've forgotten. But he's a lovely. All his books are about history, history and geography, and they're intertwined. And this book, he starts off by talking about how his dad brought home when he was a little kid a little cube. And that came apart, but he could not pull it apart. And it turns out, you learn this in the first couple of pages, so I'm not going to ruin anything, that it is so precisely made that you just slide these pieces apart. There's no air in between anything to make a bubble for you to have strength to pull it apart. And this was his first introduction to precision.
The name of the book is The Perfectionists, How Precision Engineers Created the Modern World by Simon Winchester. And the second is I Think, Therefore I Draw, which is by Danny Klein and Tom Cathcart. And their series is amazing, but taking a look at philosophy through cartoons, you and I talked about this last week, Matt,
right.
not a horrible thing to do. It's a lot of fun.
You know, it's like looking through the New Yorker magazine. Of course, the cartoons are from New Yorker Punch and old cartoons from Saturday Evening Post. It's like looking through those magazines just at the cartoons, and then you go back for the appetizer, and then you go back and read what they say about the cartoons, or read what they say about the philosophical points that the cartoons make. And it's just another delightful entry into philosophy. In the back, they have thumbnail sketches of about 70 more philosophers whom they had kind of inadvertently left out of the first two books. And they realized, you know, we have to honor these people, too. And it's just wonderful. The first cartoon is God explaining to an angel, if I have to explain the meaning of existence, it's just not funny.
Well, I adore these two men, Tom Cathcart and Danny Klein, and the book is just lovely, and it's called I Think, Therefore I Draw. Susanna, you have a book on your list that only didn't make my list because I'm interviewing the author in March, so I've waited a little while to read it. So, but I can't wait to read it.
Oh, you're good.
I'm very excited.
Joe, you haven't read it yet?
I read The Galley, half The Galley, and then I waited because I knew I was going to be interviewed and I wanted to be a little fresh. But
there's a book out there that Joe Donahue hasn't read yet.
I'm shocked.
It's on the list, and we're doing it soon, and I can't wait because she's doing an event with us, and I'm very excited. But Susan Orlean.
Yes, of course. It's Susan Orlean, the library book. This book has been a joy to watch be created and come into the world. Susan is an extraordinary writer from The Orchid Thief to Rin Tin Tin. She's a journalist. She's a writer. She's a lover of books. And this new book of hers takes a look at a fire that happened at the Los Angeles Public Library in the 1980s, where nearly a million books were damaged and destroyed. And the reason we haven't heard about this, which is the worst library fire in modern history, in American history, is that it also happened, I believe, when Chernobyl occurred. Like, Chernobyl got all the news coverage.
Right.
I mean, understandably so.
Makes sense, I guess. Sure.
But it's like, oh my God, how did we not know about this? And she was shocked that she hadn't heard of it either. And as she starts to study what happened, what caused this arson to occur, and the aftermath of it, she takes us through the history of the LA library system, and then really about, you just learn about the history of libraries in America. And she tells it in such a beautiful storytelling woven way. This is the book I sold through the holidays as, you can give this book to literally anyone and they will love it. If they read fiction, nonfiction, if they're young or old, male or female, this book is for everybody. And it's not generic. When you say this book is for everybody, sometimes that can make it sound kind of blah. This is so wonderful, this book.
She's across the spectrum, yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful stuff. It's The Library Book by Susan Orlean. Now, we have about a minute and a half, so let's just go around and talk about just books that you would like to give note to that were terrific in 2018.
Sure. Yeah. The one I want to make sure to mention is Julian is a Mermaid. It's a picture book for, I would say, ages 2 to 6. It's by Jessica Love, and it's the story of Julian, who is riding the subway with his abuela and sees mermaids. There are mermaids on the subway, and he says, I have to be a mermaid. And of course, there are mermaids who are heading to the Coney Island Mermaid Parade. It has the most beautiful illustrations I have seen in years. If this book doesn't get at least a Caldecott honor, I will be livid. It is truly beautiful. It's an incredible book about acceptance and love. Julian is a mermaid.
You know, I was. You said Coney Island Mermaid Parade, and I tried to just stifle a giggle, and then Matt did it for me, and I felt so much better. But that is a funny sentence. Beautiful book. The book is absolutely gorgeous. Matt, what would you like to add to the equation here before we wrap up?
I think I just want to mention Hester Vellman's book, Slipper, about the true story of Cinderella, a fictional history of the true story of Cinderella. And she wrote it in Hester Vellman has written and ghostwritten other books and children's books, but this is a grown-up book that she wrote years ago and finally got published. And it's the story of a young girl and how she eventually winds up telling her story of orphanhood and poor childhood to this old guy in Paris named Charles Perrault, who writes this fairy tale, Cinderella, who wrote all these other fairy tales. Where could he have gotten the idea? Well, Hester Vellmans gives him the idea. And she tells the story of and brings in other myths as well. There's one of the characters is a woman named Bessie, and her last name is Goose. And you realize over the course of the reading the book that this is Mother Goose. This is where Mother Goose came from.
Oh, that's because interesting.
That sounds great.
Where do these people come from? Yeah. Hester Vellman's slipper.
And the only book I would add to the list, and I see, I know we're running out of time, but if you want to try to get some grip on where we are right now in this world and in our nation, Jill Lepore's These Truths is an amazing look at, she writes the history of this country in however 700 pages or whatever it is. And it is beautifully written. It is exact, and it is illuminating, and it's just a terrific book. And if you get a chance, I know it's a heavy lift, literally and figuratively, but also it is hard to read it while we're wallowing through what we're wallowing through, but it does give a context that I think is really important. We all have lists. They are on our website, wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable, and all the lists will be there. Best books of 2018. Susanna Hermans is of Oblong Books and Music in Millerton and Rhinebeck, oblongbooks.com. Susanna, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
I can't wait to explore new books with you in 2019.
Yes.
Happy New Year to you. Matt, thank you very much for always being so wonderful and for bringing us books that we just didn't even know existed. And you can find out, it's the bookstore in Lenox.com, right? Bookstore in Lenox.com.
Happy New Year. Yes, that's us. Come visit. Come hang out. And the wine bar is open.
Now?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to have a New Year's party at
Matt's
place.
We'll be right over, Matt.
All right. Matt,
you come on over.
All
okay.
right.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to speak to both of you. Happy New Year. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.